Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 366. Thank you, Josh. I made it. We're done.
Sweet.
Fastest podcast ever.
There you go. I made it through the intro. Woo. I don't know.
Where do you go from here?
Right? I know. I don't know.
Are you normally
just
happy you can get that far?
No, but normally I don't get that far. So it's an accomplishment this week. But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are.
That's where you screw up.
Like, that Pittsburgh part throws you off every time. You should have
grown up here
differently.
You're right. I should have.
Josh.
Spencer.
What?
Josh.
Pat.
Mike.
Dave.
Full table. Look out, people.
It's not a full table. There's always room for
There's
more.
There's always room for more.
It's like Jell-O. Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of which, Jell-O wrestling. No.
Podcast is like Jell-O.
No, thank you. Not this crowd.
I didn't say it was honest.
Okay.
So, I don't remember any news. Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah.
I looked over there and there was anything better over there. So.
I
saw that.
Yeah,
they just had announced that today, but then they said there's nothing's going on. Like, something I read said that there was. And then they were discussing the future of the DC Universe app.
Yeah.
And then something else came out and said, no, it's fine. It's just they cut it back from 10 issues to or episodes to 3. Yeah. So who knows why. You know,
13 to 10. Maybe.
Whatever. Yes. Sorry. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. From 10 to 3.
Yeah.
It was like creative differences or something.
Yeah. And the same thing. Oh, why The Last Man got dropped from wherever that was.
They say it wasn't dropped. They said that the showrunners left, but it's not. The show has not been dropped. There's just creative differences. And the cast is sticking around, but they're finding new showrunners, I guess.
Oh, they got around to actually casting for it already.
They called the pilot.
Oh, yeah.
Showrunners seem to be a problem everywhere.
Well, I think sometimes it's. We want to do what we want to do. And
yeah, but just thinking back to, like, Walking Dead and that guy who did the first season.
Frank Darabont.
Yeah.
Like, something like Why Last Man, I think, how could we, like, how, what sort of creative differences could you have had? You had the blueprint for the whole thing already. Like, you shouldn't be deviating too far from the book. I mean, some changes to make it more TV, you know, appropriate, I guess, but.
Yeah, it's kind of been all storyboarded, and the idea is all.
But
out
I
there
think,
for
like
you.
Anything else, they want to put their own stamp on it, and they want to make changes.
Yeah,
and
yeah, this one, like how drastic could that stamp have been to where it could have been creative differences?
Well, more men on the show.
Well, no, but I mean, take a look at like, but that could be it.
It's our Spencer.
Take a look at like The Walking Dead. Daryl doesn't appear, but he's. You know, a main character. Well, what if Kirkman was said, no, you can't do that? Maybe, you know, Frank Darabont was said, yeah, you know what, then I'll just go do something else.
Yeah.
Is Brian K. Vaughan in control? Does he have any control?
Yeah, he and, I'm not sure how much control he has, but he and Piagra are involved in some capacity.
Okay.
Because she's the one, like, whenever they said that it was, when Bleeding Cool said they thought it was canceled, she's the one that immediately, like, you know, refuted that. Yeah, I feel like Walking Dead is a bit of a different beast. It's so much. So, like, it almost lends more room to doing your own thing. Just because there is, you know, now pushing, what, 200 issues, almost.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, he left after the first season.
Yeah, he did.
Although,
there were all kinds of rumors about
yeah, there were budget problems, which is why they spent half the second season on the farm, because they didn't have, you know, the budget and other things. And I'm sure if you're trying to tell a story and they're telling you, well, that's great, but we need him to stay on the farm for another, you know, 4 episodes, that, you know, it's not what he signed up for. Mm. He signed up to tell a story. But, you know, I think with the Swamp thing, 13 episodes is a long
time.
I
agree. So I hope there aren't any issues with this show itself, because I'm really excited for this show. But I feel like with most of those Marvel shows we've had on Netflix, 13 seemed almost like too many.
Yeah.
There was that point in the middle where it's just kind of like,
it's
like it was stretching it out a little bit. So I think 10 is more that sweet spot for those kind of shows.
Well, if you
did you see the teaser for it?
Where he just like kind of comes out of the bog a little bit, yeah.
Which, would he make, would there be air bubbles with him? Because like, I just didn't think of him, like, being green would have lungs to hold air.
Well, you figured there's something
plants
trapped
still
underneath
process
his
maybe.
Stuff, so it's
yeah.
Coming, yeah,
yeah.
You're going to have bubbles no matter what, I think. Yeah. It's going to be cool.
Yeah. He's breathing out oxygen.
I guess. Yeah.
I mean,
he's walking photosynthesis.
Well, yeah, like his body though, it even though he doesn't need the organs in the comics, it showed like he still has all the organs there and uses them, but.
He had to kind of
like figure out that he didn't actually need them at some point, and they were like using it
on
the back.
No, and you know, as far as DC streaming service goes, a lot of their content has been produced for years. I mean, it's not costing them anything to do it.
They said something about the Vertigo books and some other books not going.
The different imprints may not go or will not go initially
online.
As being included with that. They said some might, but it'll be more, you know, maybe not the whole imprint, but like certain selections might here and there. But they left it open up to where eventually they could, you know, pull them all in there if they wanted to. Also, they said that trades will not be on there. So like things like the Killing Joke. You know, won't be on there.
Really?
So, the way they worded it, it seems like the single issues would still be there. So you'd have to know, like, to go find, you know, Batman, whatever.
Okay.
But you couldn't just search for, like, the Killing Joke and get the trade, because they said they didn't want to also hurt, you know, trade sales at the same time.
That's smart.
So.
Yeah. Right, Colin?
Right. Because that would stink if you're giving away everything for free.
Yeah. But it looks like you can't search for any trades. It looks like it's all just single issues.
Yeah, because that's going to hurt your trade sales, you know, for them. You know, if it dries up for us, we're not going to be reordering and stuff. So, penny wise and pound foolish type of thing. Because I don't think know that a lot of people are getting it just for to be able to read the comics. Yeah.
So then I guess then like. And it's an original graphic novel that was never in single issues. Probably just won't be on there at all.
Probably like the Earth One stuff and like
right.
those.
Yeah, those probably
won't
be on there at all. But like Dark Knight Returns, that was in four issues. So you could probably find that.
Marvel announced their Acts of Evil, and
Evil?
Been kind of having fun with this a little bit, only because DC had previously announced their Year of the Villain, so Marvel doing a villain-based thing was interesting. But they also used the Acts of were the exact same font as Acts of Vengeance, and then they've just announced it that it's basically going to be Acts of Vengeance 2. It's going to be heroes taking on different villains, and they announced the first two that are going to be an annual, so it might be an annual type thing, which is cool. But yeah, it's just...
She used the Sixes font.
Yeah. It was funny, I'd completely forgotten about Sixes until a collection came in and the issues were in there. I'm like, oh man, I'd completely blocked this entire event out of my mind. But I just found it funny, so I do like saying, and I know I've said it before, but House of Idea. And they just like to rehash stuff.
Hey, we haven't had House of M2. Or,
well, no, Electric, we have House of X coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's getting redone. Yeah. Yeah, House of X is coming. So yeah, I'm waiting for Extinction Agenda 2 and Extermination, whatever it was, and yeah, pretty much every event they've ever done now will be redone.
Well, they are redoing the Dark Phoenix movie, so why
not? Right, right.
Yeah, they couldn't get right the first time, so let's do it again. That's, House of Idea.
House of Idea, so. And then DC announced, or at least in the next previews, is going to be they're doing Villain Month variants, but they're going to do a cardstock cover, and they're going to be
a dollar more.
Yeah, so that's going to be make ordering a little more challenging.
Yeah, I heard about those, and I found I really like couldn't care less about the cardstock variants.
Yeah, no, I agree, but it makes it hard on me too because I don't want to have extras because extras at a dollar more sucks.
Yeah.
That hurts a little more. You know, it's bad enough to have extras, but then too. So we'll have to play that one by ear. Especially because some companies can do the cardstock covers, like Boom is doing, they did on Grass Kings and are doing right now on Black Badge. Image does it on EXO, and various other books have had, the Valiant, I remember, had the cardstock cover. So other companies do it for the same price, so why are these a dollar more? And is it really a dollar for their cards? You know, I can, you know, 50 cents more, a quarter more, you know, something. You don't always have to keep a round number that's not even round because it's $3.99 and $4.99, but that's something they might want to rethink.
Did you see a new Ecstatics one-shot coming?
Yes.
Oh, it's just a one-shot?
Yes, yeah, but it's a giant size.
A giant size with the
by Milligan and Allred. Yeah. I'm very excited about that. Yeah. That is one book that I eagerly sought out the issues after I read the first. Like, I came to it late and had to gather them up. But
it was a lot of fun.
I love that book. I have the omnibus.
And you could tell they had fun doing it, too.
Yeah, yeah, that was a good book. But, yeah, I saw they were kind of teasing it or something. It was like, oh, I guess it's finally out, we can say. And I'm just like, love me some dupe.
Here's a, it's sort of local, but they're doing 80th anniversary for the Batman movies. So they're going to do the 30th anniversary for Batman, Batman Returns, and all at Fathom Events, which is out at Robinson. One night only, like May 4th, May 6th, and I think 8th and 12th. You can get tickets now if you've never seen them on the big screen. The first two are definitely worth seeing on the big screen. The last two. Luke already said, I have not seen the other two. I said, no problem. You don't want to see Arnold as Mr. Freeze?
I used to see you.
No. We just watched the second one. It's on the DC thing. Mm-hmm. We watched that today. Gotta love Christopher Walken.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, his hair.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. It was a helmet. Oh, it was so good. But it was so good. No, very enjoyable. And Danny DeVito just chewing the scenery. That was a good movie. That was fun. But yeah, Barry, it was kind of on in the background. I wasn't really watching.
And then Schumacher took over and just...
Well, the next one wasn't... I didn't hate the Val Kilmer one.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. But then you have two over the top.
Jim Carrey was too Jim Carrey. He was Ace Ventura as...
The Riddler.
Yeah.
And you were just like, dude...
It's kind of what they wanted, though, or you wouldn't have cast him. I mean, he didn't have to be Ace Ventura, you know.
Well, no.
But he also had the mask before that, too.
But that's just it. That was, like, the height of his popularity, and that's why they cast him.
Exactly.
I think, you know, originally they wanted Robin Williams, but because they screwed around with him playing the Joker, that's why he didn't do it.
Oh.
Like, they used him as leverage to get Jack Nicholson to play the Joker.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But what dipshit said, get Arnold to play Mr. Freeze, and said okay?
Someone who just said, he's popular in the box office right now. Yeah. Let's just get him. He'll bring
let's
him
just, yeah, let's just see what happens.
Yeah. They didn't think about the story. They thought, who are the big names we can get? Oh, we'll get Arnold.
It'd be like getting we'll The Rock to play Uma Mr. Thurman. Freeze now, but at least he'd be a little bit better acting.
No, she was,
because
that was... We'll get George Clooney.
Yeah.
Oprah, Uma.
All I gotta say is bat nipples. Come on.
Even worse than that was the bat credit card.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yes.
Batman.
I knew.
Oh yeah, that was worse than the nipples.
The bat ice cakes.
Like the nipples, I could kind of like say whatever, just you know, anatomy.
It's time to leave.
The bat credit card.
Yep.
Poor form.
There's only a few times I wanted to leave the superhero movie. I was like, no, this is so freaking bad.
Poor Alfred. He was that was the same actor in all four of the movies, right?
Yeah.
He had to be there firsthand to see the climb.
And downfall.
Or there's some theory that the third and fourth Batman movies are essentially the Batman movies you would watch if you lived in the first two universe. So like parodies of what it is.
Wow, it's
or like
pretty...
their version of Batman 66.
Yeah. Super bright colors.
Yeah,
neon,
and that's
so
the thing.
Neon,
it's such a tonal shift.
That's
between...
that's so Schumacher though, and you're just like, dude, no. And then there was Poison Ivy, Bane.
Bane was bad.
Oh, Bane was awful. It's like, just see how much crap you can throw in there and just, you know, get away with.
Batgirl, but she was Alfred's niece.
Yes.
Mm. That's right, Alicia Silverstone.
Two-Face was just painted on.
Yeah. Well, and the other problem I had with that was you had Harvey Dent in the first movie. And then you're like, oh, we'll recast it with Tommy Lee Jones.
Okay. And what, Billy Dee Williams wouldn't be perfect?
Yeah, no.
As Two-Face? Come on.
Yeah, well, didn't he have some sort of like falling out with them after the first movie, or during the production of the first movie?
I don't know.
No, because he had a pay-for-play contract. They had to pay him anyway, or buy him out.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because that was part of the deal with him playing Harvey Dent.
If I figure it's Burton's guy, that, you know, we're going a different direction.
I thought I read it was he wasn't too happy about that, but
yeah. Well, he wasn't happy about it, but he ended up he played Two-Face in the Lego Batman movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he patched it up with Warner Brothers, apparently.
Yeah. No, he just needed money.
Well, it could be that, too. Yeah. But
money heals all wounds.
Yeah.
True.
So what were we talking about?
What?
What were we talking about?
Bat nipples.
I was talking about Billy Dee Williams being Two-Face.
Just checking.
I was paying attention.
Keep me honest.
No, Billy Dee Williams playing Two-Face. I don't know that he's Two-Faced. I've never met him.
Come on. Yeah, come on. The guy gets in the news with the Rise of Skywalker, and now you're throwing off fake news.
I know.
You want to talk about that?
Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah, I'm very excited about the next 8 months of people going, wait, the Millennium Falcon doesn't have the dish, so... It's not the real Millennium Falcon. Remember in the first Star Wars movie? Not the first one, but the Force Awakens. People just
never had the rectangular dish instead of the round dish?
Whatever, but people were scene by scene going through the trailer, trying to analyze it. And I'm like, oh, great, now we get eight months of that.
Maybe they just upgraded to Comcast.
Okay, when you first saw the trailer, the laugh at the end.
It was Palpatine.
All I could hear was Mark Hamill
doing
the Joker. Yeah.
No, but also knowing that Palpatine walked out on the stage to introduce the trailer.
Well, see, I didn't know any of that. I just, as soon as I heard the laugh, I'm like, that's Palpatine.
Hamill tweeted about it the next day.
They said, some things never die, and then he said it. I'm like, okay, so you just gave away the twist.
Yes.
Well, and but, he came out and said, roll it again.
Okay.
So...
Look, no one hates a Star Wars movie more than a Star Wars fan.
It's
unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
No, it's funny. I did have a problem when I saw a lot of people going nuts about the Mandalorian trailer, and I'm like, I'm not watching that. That's the thing I hated the most from the prequels was the Mandalorians. I confuse it with midichlorians. I'm like, why would they make a movie about those stupid little robot things in their bloodstreams? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. So, I got confused.
The fact that you thought that was a possibility that Disney may have actually done something that dumb.
You think that's far from the point? They're whores. They'll do anything.
But the fact they're whores means they'll do anything for a lot of money. That is not an idea that would really get a lot of money, I don't think.
That's why I didn't know why they were doing it.
They're going to remake Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, but use Jar Jar Binks as Mr. Smith.
Oh, that'd be money.
They're going to remake that movie where they shrunk down the little like submarine thing, the tiny little pill, and the guy swallowed it to go inside the body to see the midichlorians.
Inner Space or Fantastic Voyage?
Fantastic Voyage.
Okay. But they did that in Inner Space as well.
And Dennis Quaid.
Man, he had a run at that point.
Yes, he did.
He had a heck of a run at that point.
Now he's doing insurance commercials.
He is.
Gotta pay the bills.
He's got to pay his brother's legal bills. Yeah.
He was married to Meg Ryan one time.
He was. Good times.
You could have married Meg Ryan.
No, I don't think so.
You gotta have confidence in yourself.
No, not that much confidence.
You got comic book money.
Comic book money. See these two nickels? I'm rubbing them.
She owned a bookstore and you got mail.
That's true. And she had to close it, too.
You've been successful.
Yeah.
One up on her.
Yeah. True. And that was her mom's success. True. I built this from scratch.
Make Ryan be lucky.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah! So.
You need to go punch Tom Hanks in the face.
What?
I was about to say Tom.
It was like Tom Cruise.
I almost did.
I was saying
would F him up.
So would Tom Hanks, but I want to see it happen.
Nobody punched Tom Hanks. He's playing Mr. Rogers.
There's a reason to punch everybody. Just some things you can't
do. David S. Pumpkins.
He is David S. Pumpkins. So, Oh, you know what? I don't think we got any questions.
No questions.
Let me double check.
Tim, ask Colin a question. Anything.
What's your favorite barbecue sauce?
Is this a wart or a boil?
No, we got nary a single question. I did ask right at 5, right when my alarm or my reminder went off.
Not even me? The guy normally got like 6.
No. Nope, we got
maybe he got mad at Josh to keep on making fun of him fast.
Could be.
Questions.
No, he got mad because we wouldn't answer his Mary Bang Kill question.
So, who wants to go first? I need to go grab another pen. This pen died on me.
I'll go first. What do you need the pen for? Doodles?
Checking off the ones I read.
Oh, there's a Sharpie right here. If you can just cross
it's
them
a yellow
out.
Sharpie.
There's a highlighter. You can just
fine. Go ahead, Dave.
We're going to start with Wonder Twins.
Activate.
Aw, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Tim. Can't believe you.
I read that. This was that brand new one I grabbed, Tim, so I think that was a bad batch of pens.
He's just jumping all over Dave. Man. I got you back, Dave.
It's okay.
Thanks, I thought Wonder Twins was awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I love this book. Love it to pieces.
Yeah. I'm definitely on the same wavelength as Mark Russell. Just everything.
Yeah, me too. I know he heaps so much praise on him, but man, we're just on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
With just the humor and the real stuff in this book too. The League of Annoyance, the Wonder Twins were on the League of Annoyance's radar following the previous issue.
For Count Druncula.
For Druncula. So they decide to they find out where they're living and try to kidnap them while they're sleeping. We also get the origin of Gleek, who was a circus monkey.
But it's not really his origin. It's just how, like, because he's...
Because they just really, like, just mentioned that he's a circus monkey at one point, right?
Well,
we see, like, some flashbacks.
Yeah,
of,
right, but I mean, like, he's not really a circus monkey. He's
right,
from space.
Right. That's true.
Is he from space in this?
He's blue. have you ever seen a blue monkey in nature?
Well, it's a comic book. In the DC Universe, where they have all kinds of crazy shit of Earth.
Okay, but Detective Chimp is a chimp. I'm thinking he's a space monkey.
I'm just saying that he had these circus flashbacks, and they called him a circus monkey.
They have circuses in space, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
It's possible. Just it made it seem like he was a blue terrestrial monkey. He didn't have any space powers.
That we know of. But Gleek never had any powers on the cartoon either.
I never watched the cartoon.
You had the DC thing, right? You need to watch Super Friends.
So many shows, Pat.
I get it. Just watch a couple episodes.
Although I'll have more time for the streaming because, as of Saturday, cable is gone.
Ooh.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Making the cut?
What's that?
You cut the cord?
Yep.
I did 2 years ago. It was the best thing ever.
Wow. Yeah.
You only watch things you want to watch, which is could be a bad thing.
There's still a ton of stuff, though.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we still, like, we tried out YouTube TV, and it was actually, it worked well, so that made the decision easier, but, yeah.
Sports is the only thing I worry
yeah,
about.
Yeah, that's my problem.
Yeah. That's the only problem. It's the AT&T Sports Network, so I can't watch the Pens games.
I don't care about that, but I mean,
well, yeah, you watch the Flyers. You can watch them on
the Golf Network, same place where we can watch the Penguins now.
No, I mean, you don't have blackouts if you want to watch them on national.
No, but we also don't get the yeah. But how often do we get the games?
Yeah, but there's more streaming services that are showing the games now nationally.
Yeah, it's actually it's more for football than anything else. The same problem because.
The nice thing about football, I still get local channels, and if you have a smart TV...
Mm-hmm. See, I tried one of those antennas, and it didn't
work. It comes right through your cable, and there's a digital box inside your TVs, and you can watch all the local channels in HD.
Mm-hmm.
So I watch CBS, Fox, and all that other stuff. And there's, like, ABC 4.1, you know, MeTV, Cozy TV, and stuff like that. So
yeah, but where I live, I get zero reception.
Yeah.
Because I looked into doing that, because I wanted to just completely cut the cable. Couldn't do it.
No, I think he's saying if you still have just cable coming to your house, whether it's active service or not,
it still comes
you can
in.
Still get the local channels.
Oh, okay.
It will still come in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize that was the case.
Yeah, no, neither did I. Cool.
Now you know. No one's had the battle.
Yeah. Who do you problem is I still don't have a cable out by the
Comcast
upstairs.
Now.
I tried that in my
we had DirecTV. I got rid of them.
Yeah.
It was paying too much.
That's where the magic happens anyways.
It's where the sleeping happens.
That's what we said, the magic.
Back to Dave.
So about that blue monkey.
So the one twins cut their cable.
That was your fault.
No, is this a mini series or is it ongoing?
Mini six.
Mini.
Which is okay, because.
Let's be realistic.
This story can't go on forever.
Yeah. I think you can always do another mini series.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Are they mainstream DC Universe?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yes, because what was the other book recently where Superman said he was going to have the Wonder Twins, like, Watch out for something or investigate something. It wasn't the Wonder Twins book. It was in some other DC book where Superman actually referenced the Wonder Twins. I can't remember what it was now. It was a couple weeks ago.
No, I thought it was in Batman last week.
Was it in Batman last week?
Yeah, I think it was.
Okay.
Oh, but that would have been, yeah, that would make sense because that was the dream one with the Bachelor Party.
All the more reason, though, if it was a dream, they would have to be in continuity.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the monkey has to be from Earth. Good point, Pat. Dave,
monkey's
continue.
I love the funny stuff in this book. There's
he's talking this, real fast now. Before
new, I know this new villain, the Malingerer.
Malingerer.
The Malingerer.
The Malingerer.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's always hurt.
He's like, I bruise easily during the fight. That's hilarious. And then there's a big conversation with Superman about the nature of superheroes and the cycle of violence, and it was just fantastic. Scooby Apocalypse.
It ended.
Did it end
the
well?
Final issue.
Jinkies.
Yes, it ended
it?
Well.
Okay.
I thought it ended well. All the way to issue went all the way to issue 36. So this is the final conference.
I gotta be honest. That's at least 30 issues longer than I thought that would last.
Oh, for sure.
But it's Russell too, isn't it?
No, it's
no.
JMD Mateus.
No. Okay. Yeah.
So, oh, Russell did Flintstones.
Yeah.
Flintstone mm-hmm. should have won 36 issues. No offense to
this. This is the final confrontation between Velma and the Nanite King, and the Nanite King gives her 3 days to decide whether she wants to join him in rebuilding the world. And so we get some closure to everything.
Wasn't that the end of the zombie
Nanite Fred story, and he makes the sacrifice, and Scrappy Doo admits he likes everybody.
Scrappy Doo.
Scrappy Doo's in it.
Yeah, that's.
And,
too much?
And, he's the badass of the book.
Oh my god.
And,
you swore?
You can edit
no,
that.
No, he never
will. Can't ruin my reputation.
I compliment your golden age sensibilities earlier, and then you throw out curse words.
The A word.
This is an adult only show.
After 8:30, Dave gets a little blue.
Pittsburgh Comics up all night.
Just like the monkey.
And we see the world after the monster plague and Velma's baby and everything. So it's a good ending. Good ending and a worthwhile experiment with bringing these characters into this monster universe. I read this one here, Orphan Age.
What did you think?
Number one. You haven't read it yet?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Mike didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
There wasn't enough there.
Yeah, it was a very fast read, yeah.
I really wanted to like it. The one thing that really threw me off was the artwork. I thought it just didn't fit the tone of the book or what I thought the tone of the book should have been. It was kind of boring. It just, there was nothing there to grab you and say, hey, read issue 2. because Colin sold me on it, and I'm like, well, this sounds really interesting. And then you read it, and you go, well, that wasn't very interesting.
Because then Colin...
had you read it before you sold it?
Okay.
It has a great premise.
That's what I knew what the premise was.
Yeah, it has an absolutely great premise, but I was just like...
What's the premise?
Something happens and all the adults die. Now this is 10 years later as the children are now having to rebuild society. And that's where the story
picks
up.
The eyes threw me off. The artwork just threw me...
Yeah, they're pointing the same direction. I'm okay with that.
Well, they're kind of weird, like floating and stuff. I don't know. I just didn't think the art fit this tone of the book. It seemed very... I don't know.
The art looks like a young reader's book almost.
It does. And you had mentioned the $6 Million Man previously. Yeah. I love the $6 Million Man, but it's drawn like it's Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I can't have a $6 Million Man be drawn like Scooby-Doo.
It looks like their eyes are just all pupils.
Yeah, they're big saucers. Yeah.
Like, there's no color in them or anything. They're just one big black circle.
Will you get issue two?
I'll get it. I think I liked it a little bit more than you did.
Yeah.
I like the dramatic tension. I thought there was some dramatic tension, you know, during when these new church people come into town, and everybody, you know, has to run for their lives.
And I got a weird Walking Dead vibe with all that stuff too. It just, mm-hmm. you know, I was just like, I've been there before, and I didn't hate it. I didn't see enough that I want to buy issue two.
Okay,
sorry, Colin. I'll buy another issue one or something else.
He's going to cry now.
Nope. And I'll talk about these two together, but the two Star Wars books last week, the Age of Rebellion specials on Princess Leia and Grand Moff Tarkin, they were both written by Greg Pak. And I really enjoyed both of these. They take place during the original trilogy, and they shed new light on the stories. The Leia book is about her getting the, after The Empire Strikes Back, Leia getting the Boosh costume to, you know, to rescue Han Solo. And when she went in front of Jabba the Hutt, that wasn't the first time she wore it. This shows the actual first time she wore it.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Because she wanted... during a confrontation with Boss, because she wanted to practice being a scoundrel so she could fool Jabba the Hutt.
Are these one-shots?
This is a one-shot, okay. Yeah. And the Grand Moff Tarkin book takes place during the A New Hope, when he was running a simulation to fire the Death Star, and he sees... And there's like a bunch of people needed to do the protocol to fire the Death Star, and he has some ability to tell that some of the Imperial officers hesitate, and he takes it upon himself to discipline them. And so they show when they show from his point of view and the Imperial officers' point of view what happens when they destroy Alderaan. And how some of the officers did hesitate, and what happens after that. I thought it was really well written.
That's was it just the, all Empire story? Was there any rebel people in there? Or
no, yeah, it was all Empire people. Okay. Yeah. And Greg Pak's taken over the regular Star Wars book in a couple months. I thought that Grand Moff Tarkin book was one of the best Star Wars books I've read.
Does it sell
in a long time?
Your Star Wars books?
Yeah, they sell okay. They're starting to decline, but yeah.
But I really enjoyed both of those. And that's all I got. Who wants to go next?
I'll go. I picked up Faithless, just because it's Azzarello.
I read that.
And it was pretty much...
Yeah, what you see on the cover.
Yeah. And I was like, where is this
going? A Paul Pope cover, then there was a Bermejo cover.
And I'm like, where is this going? And then the last panel kind of goes, okay, this is going on a very bizarre.
Yeah, it was kind of just a bizarre book leading up to there, yeah.
But overall, I enjoyed it. I liked the artwork. The story was kind of interesting. And I knew what was going to happen between the two ladies, and I was just like, wow, they really became friendly.
Yes, very friendly. Yes. Very good friends.
Yeah.
Got to know each other well.
The one book I really liked last week was Symbiote Spider-Man. It was...
I was talking to Tim about that.
It was drawn by Greg Land and written by Peter David, and yeah. It takes place like pretty much like after he gets the black costume.
Right, but before he realizes it's what it is.
It's a bad thing. And his artwork was like really, really good. It was like there was backgrounds drawn and other things. And
some interesting panels.
Interesting panels. And
well...
The whole Mysterio I just love, and it was just a fun book, and it was like it was I trust Peter David to do it, and I enjoyed it. It was like a fun book.
Yeah, basically it's in order to get a Mysterio book on the stands for that. But it was good. It was good. Yeah. It started off Mysterio's doing this bank heist, and in the middle of it, one of the hostages gets shot by the security guard and dies, and all of a sudden he feels this great amount of guilt over that happening. That wasn't supposed to happen. And Peter's on it, but his spider sense doesn't go off when he runs across Mysterio because Mysterio wasn't accidentally doing anything bad at that time. But it was good. Just the land art, there was definitely some landisms. There was a panel where the suit is going on him, and she's making a surprised face, which was very surprised.
But he did draw Mysterio very well.
Yes. Yeah, he does things very well, but like, and then there was the panel where Black Cat was climbing through the window, and she has this big smile on her face. I'm like, would you be smiling climbing through a window like that? It was just in, you know, very weird. But yeah, so lots of land faces.
The other one is Amazing Spider-Man 19, which I really enjoyed as well.
You know.
Dave. And, but I'm not enjoying the Who ones, the H-U ones.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. They're hunted.
As much as the main ones.
Well, because they're just one-shot specials on the villains.
Well, I think the one that came out this way with the lizard, so I think that one might be better. Because, like, the other one, like, who...
It's the gibbet.
Who cares?
That's Adam's favorite character.
Yeah, who cares about the gibbet?
I don't care about the gibbet.
So I think, like, at least I'm hoping this one with the lizard will be a little bit better.
Batman Who Laughs number 4 was... Really, really well. Done well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot.
Finally got to figure out how the visor thing worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was always wondering, like, how...
My favorite part was when him and Alfred start bitch-slapping each other and fighting, and I'm like, you can't take me. No, I'm gonna... And I'm like, he's fighting. I'm like, oh my gosh. But that's been fun. And Jock's artwork is just fantastic. It's just been out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
The other book I've been reading that I enjoy is Prodigy. Albert Keek and Miller. He's like this, I don't know if any of you have read it.
Yeah, I'm reading it.
Do you like it?
I'm so-so on it. It's not my favorite of his books that he has out, but it's...
It's been fun. And like, last week he got shot, and I'm like, how did he get shot? He should know everything that's going to happen, analyze everything that's going on. And there's, what, one more issue?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And it's going to wrap up, but it's been fun.
He kind of got duped for being the smartest person. That's probably part of his plan.
Yeah.
He probably knew the whole time.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. This is part of the plan. But that's been fun. But overall, there was like some ant books, like Batman. I didn't enjoy that.
I
did too.
Yeah.
So the only thing I'll say is we already had a Bachelorette Party issue, so that kind of maybe detracts from a little bit.
Yeah.
And some parts of it seemed a bit... a bit maybe too over the top. But overall, I just thought it was a fun, enjoyable, a lot of fun.
So I enjoyed it, but because the last scene was him upside down in whatever the nightmare machine
back
is.
Back the tank, yeah.
It was very jarring because it was completely...
It was, but it kind of explained what had been going on. Yeah,
it did, but I mean, throughout it, you knew he was still in that.
Right, but I loved the little things of them being in the fortress and all the different...
The
wine from the different, the universe. I enjoyed that very much.
Like, parts
of
it for me, though, seemed a little, like, fanficky, though, to me.
Yeah.
Like them... bathing in that weird thing together and wearing the Superman suits and going to the Superman bachelor party. Like,
so the only part that really I was like, really? Was whenever Lois, like, oh yeah, here's three three strippers that are all, you know, completely modeled after my husband.
Yeah.
She married Superman.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I that was fun. Some of the other ones kind of annoyed me, but that one I thought was fun.
But that's it.
Okay.
Pat, what did you read an hour ago?
Well, we talked about three of them. The only one we haven't talked about.
You just bought your books today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ronan Island.
I read that.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was getting a little confused about the characters there a little bit.
They don't all look like Colin.
No. But just not remembering from issue one. And, like, the kids are dealing with the adults and not sure who was who exactly. And not sure where they are. Like, they're on the island and they're not on the island and where
they were on the
was.
Island until after the battle. And then they moved them off the island because it was taken over by these monsters.
Oh, okay. See, I thought they were on the mainland and got moved to the island to protect them because the monsters couldn't get to the island.
No, when the great wind came, whatever that was, they left because it's not just... There's Chinese there, there's Japanese there, and there's Koreans there, all living together on the island. And then the Shogun, and they didn't think there was a Shogun, his troops were the ones that showed up and said, you know, you have to pay homage to the Shogun, and oh, by the way, see those monsters? They're going to kill you.
Okay, I started getting a little confused.
When does
it
take place?
It's ancient.
Yeah, it's ancient times. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The one problem that I have with it, It's more just you're trying to build a community of essentially three different ethnic groups, and then you pit your children against each other. That's not a recipe for success. Especially when the whole thing is they want them to work together. That competition is healthy, but having your two students constantly fight each other, that builds animosity. So
like I said, it's just tradition, and that's they just kind of continue.
No, and I get that, but it, you know, when you only have two, and they're the only two they ever fight, it doesn't really build camaraderie.
But there can only be one.
That's only the Highlander. Okay. You got to be Scottish for that to work.
And that movie, the one with Jet Li.
That's true.
Yep.
I love that movie. It's been so corny.
It's been a while.
It's good. Yeah. So that's what I read.
Spencer. Winter Soldier number 5. It's the last issue of the miniseries.
Your favorite?
One of my favorite writers, Kyle Higgins. So last issue ended with RJ's father accidentally dying. So this issue is Bucky, like, literally he's like trying to hide the body. He's just gonna dig a hole out in the woods and, you know, just hide the body, never tell RJ about it. But what's her name? Sharon.
Your dad went to live on a farm on the state.
was trying to convince him to, like, that if you do that and he finds out, you know, you'll lose all the trust that you've built with him and stuff. And then finally, but before he gets a chance to tell him, the Hydra agent that originally was training him from the first issue that shot him, found him and showed him pictures of, like, Bucky standing over the dead body of his father and stuff like that. So, they get into it and he's really just laying into, Bucky and he, you know, screaming at him to fight back and he's like, if you want to kill me, he's like, I'm not gonna stop you, if that's what you think you have to do. But then he just ends up leaving him, and he does murder the Hydra agent that, you know, shoots him up in his car, and then he just kind of disappears, and Bucky's able to pull some strings and must be able to fake his death because it ends with, like, him standing by a tombstone of RJ, and so it looks like he, like, faked his death, so hopefully he, to try to help him to maybe start a new life on his own. But I really did like this series, and I think it had potential to, like, maybe hopefully, you know, maybe pick up later, if not him, but, like, another creative team. Then Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number 5. This issue pretty much just deals with Peter finding out about how Aunt May has cancer and she's getting ready to go to her first treatment. And she asks him if, you know, if he would be there with him, with her, and,
let me guess, he didn't make it.
Well, no, he said that he had things, you know, that he was really busy, that he couldn't do it. So, like, he spends the whole night, like, just trying to be like Spider-Man, just trying to get his, like, his, you know, trying not to think about it, and he, stops this kid who is stealing this car. He accidentally breaks his arm while doing it, but then he realizes it's one of the homeless kids around from around the neighborhood that he recognizes, so he actually helps the kid steal the car so he doesn't get caught by the cops, but, you know, he returns the car, but then he takes him to, the kid to Doctor Strange to fix his arm, and so while they're talking, he's kind of like, you know, going over there, he tells him how he has a loved one who's, like, really sick and was gonna ask if he was something that he could, you know, do, and he's like, there's something, sometimes there's just stuff that you can't do, and he's like, unless if you want to, like, make a deal with, like, a devil to try, you know, kind of almost hanging back to, like, the one more day, kind of, and he's like, nobody wants that, you know, deal with that, but then it does end up, as Aunt May gets called in for her treatment, he does show up and is there with her, so.
I'm sorry, I have to say it. One more May would have to be.
So did you enjoy the issue?
Yeah, I liked it.
Because I'll be honest, it sounds terrible to me. Like, I don't know. I just, I can't see her asking, like, will you be there and just be like, I'm busy. Whether he showed up in the end or not, I just can't see him being like, nah, I have things to do. Sorry I can't go with you to your cancer treatment, Aunt May. I'm like, what a dick. Am I wrong?
Well, I'm
not wrong.
Yes, in theory, but I mean, also they, well, because it's not like, as she's saying it, he like cuts her off and says no, like, you know, there's like a couple panel pause of him, like, just because, like, this is the first, like, she's asking him, like, because she, like, told him and then asked him, like, this is, like, the first he's being told of her sickness. Like, so it's not like he's known that she's been sick for a while.
Okay, is he a kid in this?
Yeah, I was going to say, how old is he in the book?
Because unless he's, like, a teenager, or I'll even go, like, early 20s, like, college.
No, he's normal Spider-Man
okay.
age.
Then F off. Like,
he needs some maturity.
That's being a dick.
Yeah.
Like, Aunt May has done everything for him. Took him in, took care of him, you know, he caused her husband to get killed, kinda, and she's always been there for him.
In his defense,
and
as we just mentioned in One More Day, he kinda made a deal with the devil to bring her back to life.
And she opens up about her having cancer and asks if he'll go, and he's just like, busy. Like, yeah, dick move.
But, I can understand if
but
he was
she got
like
killed
that.
Because he revealed who he was without... you know, oh, what, everybody's, oh, Kingpin's going, yeah, it's May, we'll let that go, come on.
I mean,
Doc Ock might, because he loves her wheat cakes, but
you didn't write the book, you shouldn't, like, take offense.
No.
Detective Comics 1001.
Yeah, right.
For some reason, all the bats that seem in Gotham City are just dying for some strange reason, and,
which sucks, because bats in general have been struggling for a few years now.
Yeah.
And as Alfred said, maybe they just got tired of hanging around.
Yeah.
So I read that one.
But I'm bumped.
Yeah, he has a couple, like, little one-liners in this issue. So they can't find out any reason why. So he goes to see
Francine Langstrom.
Yeah, I can't think of what her name was, and
only because I just read it this afternoon.
And she's like freaking out, and she ends up taking the man bat serum, and
that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
how she transferred. That was kind of cool. like that.
Well, what I don't get is if all the bats are dropping dead, why would you the last thing I'm taking is the bat
well,
serum.
Well, before she took the serum, because she must have had, like, some bit of the serum.
Yeah,
because
she was kind of freaking out.
Well, she was saying, like, she was already hearing something.
Well, yeah. I think there's been different points in history where she's had
And then whenever she took the serum, like, whatever she was hearing was ramped up even higher. So, yeah. I'm guessing it relates to what killed the bats. Mm.
So she takes off, and Batman's really kind of, like, riding her, almost kind of like a bull, almost.
Riding a bull.
Yeah. And is able to give her the antidote as they go into the Gotham Zoo, which they have, like, a bat, like, just the whole, like, bat section, which, I mean, I guess would make sense for a zoo in Gotham, where they,
there's one in the Pittsburgh Zoo, too.
Oh, yeah. Is there?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to the zoos for a while. I think, like, a kid was the last time I've been to a zoo.
It's fun.
Yeah, well. But then they he runs into these knights that from this, like, secret order, I guess, that start attacking him, and none of his normal tricks or, like, his tools, like...
They're prepared
for
what they
really
have to do.
Which, have you ever seen the one panel, like, they're all covered in armor, and, like, he throws a batarang, and it, like, hits them in the shoulder,
yeah.
But, like, they have, like, this open faceplate kind of thing, like, you're not even aiming for, like, but, and then it, as he's just getting lit up with arrows, and...
Yeah,
and
like, they have weapons that can, you know, pierce his body armor, all those things.
And he's, like, tries to throw, like, a smoke grenade to get away, and it bounces off of, what's his name from the game?
Arkham Knight.
His shield. And then just ends with him just literally standing on Batman's head.
Is this a new villain, or has he been around? Or?
I think it's just from the games.
So, in the Arkham series of recent Batman games, they had Arkham Knight, who ended up being Jason Todd. So I'm guessing he's going to be very different in the book here. It just seems odd to me for, like, the big, like, first arc after 1000 to use this video game character as the big
bad. That's what kind of threw me for a loop, because somebody said something, it's from a video game, and I'm like, why would they use that as, like, you were saying, like, 1001, here's,
A good stepping off point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, maybe they just want to try something new, because, I mean, they've got, like, they've been doing a lot of stuff with Joker and stuff, like, so maybe they wanted to give his traditional villains, maybe.
About Bookworm?
I just want Detective Comics to be a detective book. Like a Batman, like, solving, like, some, you know, crazy crime using detective skills.
Well, and I loved it when it was the Bat Family book.
That was
cool.
Yeah.
That was cool, too.
Yeah.
I like that, too.
Yeah, I agree.
No, there was the ads in there for Batman and the Outsiders that got resolicited. Maybe that'll become the Bat Family book, but...
Not the same.
Yeah. No, it isn't.
What did you guys think of the art for this issue? There was, like, parts of it that I liked, but then, like, there was certain parts where, whenever Batman had the cowl on, and just, like, his chin looked like, almost like Jay Leno chin, almost.
No, I didn't
like. But, I mean, for the most part, though, I enjoyed it. There was just some wonky parts in it that just kind of threw me, but, and then the last book I'll talk about is, The Flash 68.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I've been liking this arc.
It's, Barry is brought to where, I think, I'm not sure where, the trickster's, like, lair is, but they bring him there, and there's this machine there that is making everybody, quote-unquote, happy. / mind-controlled. But in true, Flash, faction, when he walks through, he slightly vibrates so it doesn't take hold of him, so he acts like he's under control so he can kind of slip away to figure out what's going on. And then he finds, Citizen Cold, and tries to rescue him, and they run into the original trickster, who they have a little mini fight with, but then it turns out that Citizen Cold is also under his control and helps knock them out. and then he wakes up tied up, and he's shown, Trickster's showing the Flash on this big screen TV of everybody in the city's fighting, you know, for their happiness and stuff like that. And he phases out of the ropes, and he gets up to go try to stop him, and immediately falls right on his face because the Trickster cut off Flash's legs at the knees.
Yep.
Like, for real?
Well,
it is the Trickster.
So, not,
so.
Like, for real, for real.
Yeah.
Because the Flash, he didn't, like, it wasn't like the legs were missing for a while, and he just suddenly realized they were missing. Like, he had his legs, and then the Trickster did something, he was like, I'll take your legs away. Then suddenly, like, the legs were gone.
Yeah.
So, like, it, yeah, it wasn't like he woke up and he had these bloody stumps there. So, yeah. Clearly something is... Clearly there's a trick being played.
Now, though, you don't wonder if his, with being connected to the Speed Force and, like, having quick healing, if he could just, like, Wolverine and just...
Re-throw the legs?
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
Or would he be able to just run, like, on the nub still super fast just because he still has it connected to the... Or do, like, the hand running?
He could probably still, like, you know...
crawl really fast?
Salamander crawl or whatever
really
fast.
You'd think, but...
Not comfortable, but still.
But, yeah, I've been liking this this story arc, and it seems like, though... I think it's the one after this, but they're doing that
Flash
year one. And that
one
I'm really looking
that
forward...
That looks cool.
To,
yeah,
I'm really looking
cool.
forward to that...
Who's writing this right now?
Josh Williamson.
Yeah, he's been writing it since the rebirth.
So and this arc was what they needed because that previous arc drug on too long and just got kind of boring. But this has been a nice like booster shot to the,
well, and then
the
any,
series.
Or any time that it seems like his best stuff is when he's dealing with the Rogues. And any time he kind of veers off of that kind of stuff is where it seems to get like a little tricky, bud. And we get to see, I don't know if anybody's caught up on Flash, but you get to see Godspeed. Yeah, that's his name, right? From the beginning of his of this run.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the newest episode of The Flash. Mm. But that's it. That's all I got.
Hawkman, number 11. This has just been a really fun book. It's been a gorgeous book. Brian Hitch has been on the art. He's on the art for one more issue. Issue 12 wraps up the story that he and Venditti were telling so far. Venditti's stay on the book, so it's going to continue.
I was thinking about it, because I think the first trade's out, isn't it? I was thinking about picking it up whenever I had
it's been good. I've really been liking it a lot. So, in this issue, the Deathbringers have come to Earth to get, you know, vengeance on Hawkman, and they are, you know, thousands strong, and look like they're about to overwhelm, you know, the planet. And Hawkman is trying to fight them off single-handedly. Xandu is trying to help him out as well. But then he managed to, like, summon forth all of the other iterations of himself from, like, you know, throughout time. So now he has, like, this army of, you know,
Hawkman
Hall, like, Hawkman. And all these, like, different, you know, variations. Like, there was, you know, an old Western version of him, the Kryptonian version of him, the Microverse version. Like, it was kind of neat. A Barbados version of him.
So, like, that big, like, that, like, really
yeah, well,
big
like,
thing that was, like, on the hunt or whatever it was.
But, yeah, it was a really, really cool issue. I'm looking forward to see how they wrap up this, you know, 12-issue story and then where it goes from there. But, yeah, it's been... Venditti really seems to know the character and is good at telling the story. And the character... His writing of this character almost reminds me of, like, his Exo Manowar run with Valiant.
Mm.
Superman, number 10. Man, I'm kind of over this.
Good.
You read it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like kind of over all the Jor-El stuff.
Yeah.
And
I'm also over Rogel Czar.
He's still in it?
So,
yeah.
I don't like the Rogel Czar stuff in Superman, but I like it in Supergirl.
Okay.
And that Supergirl's been, like, focusing on that primarily.
I'm still really hoping they find a way to de-age John, but...
It just seems like a really dumb decision to make him older, especially since you just brought back Connor Kent in Young Justice.
Yeah.
Like, the dynamic you had with Damian and John and Young John with his parents, like, it was great. It's weird. It's a weird decision.
Yeah. But, yeah, the basic... he's getting attacked by Superwoman...
Yeah,
who's
so
his mom, which is
weird. He's still recounting his whole, like, what happened to him
and
whenever
then
he
Grandpa
was
saves him. But Grandpa's a little off the deep end.
And Grandpa was like was referencing things that didn't actually happen. It seemed like so
because Grandpa's been looking for him for 10 years.
Yeah,
but in reality, only 3 weeks had passed on Earth.
And I'm sure I'm wrong. I still don't buy that it's Jor-El.
Like, yeah, no, I agree.
I'm sure it is, yeah. But it just does, it still doesn't feel yeah. like, nope. like it's him.
I agree.
But yeah, I just yeah. Just kind
of
over
but then
that,
at the story. End, it's him at home with the parents, and all of a sudden something goes on, and Superman and him have to go somewhere, and they get transported somewhere, and then there's all these Thanagarians, and I'm not sure what else was there.
So, like, John's telling him what's happening, and Superman is realizing like they have to go and go back to where John came from, because I think he's worried that Jor-El was going to cause some sort of, like, big conflict.
Okay.
And so... did. They use some sort of Kryptonian technology to, you know, yeah, like, transport there, almost. And then when they get there, it's just, like, this huge battle going yeah. on. But the art was good.
Yeah, the art was real good. But, Ivan Reis for most of it, and yeah. I think Brandon Peterson for the rest, yeah.
But, yeah, just the story, I'm just not loving it. That's all.
No.
Supergirl, 29. So... this book has been focusing more on the Rogozar stuff and the truth what happened behind, with Krypton, and it's been really good. This issue was a bit of a stumble for it just because it was a big like information dump. It seemed like the art was great, the story wasn't bad. It just they seemed like they tried to tie up a lot of threads all at once, and it felt like it was a bit rushed. So we finally found out the truth of what happened with Krypton, and there was like this circle. Almost like this Illuminati kind of circle with different, you know, leaders from different species who were, you know, kind of deciding things for the whole universe. And it was brought up by, I think her name is Gandello, that she wanted to kind of cleanse Krypton. Like she had been going around and planets where she feels that the species had, you know, done some injustice or, you know, not a vegetative injustice, calm down. Or where they have, you know, ruined their planet, or I guess she does seem like a kind of an ecological terrorist too, so I guess vegetative injustice would have worked. But she just, you know, has been going around like and cleansing these worlds, and she wants to do that to Krypton. The rest of the circle says, you know, unanimously no, but then she still does it on her own and gets Rogozar to do that. Rogozar had been this tool that the circle had been using as, you know, their soldier for a while, and he had issues with Kryptonians, so she was able to give it to him. So, you know, it does, like, according to this, it does say that she, you know, that Krypton was destroyed by Rogozar, like, all that was true. But, like, the parts of the rush where she's been, Kara's been going around finding these information crystals that Guardian had left with, you know, that would tell the whole story, like, what happened, the truth. And it seemed like in this issue, suddenly, like, she had all the crystals all of a sudden, and there was no real, like, rhyme or reason how she suddenly acquired all these crystals and gets the whole story right away and finds out that her companion, the Kaluan Xander, his mom is actually this Gandello. She, whenever she went and tried to conquer his planet, she ended up... slaughtering his people, but then adopting him as her own. So he finds out the truth about his, where, you know, he came from and behind his adoptive mother, and now she's racing off to try and present this, you know, evidence of what happened with the circle to prove that, you know, they were behind what happened to Krypton. So it was still good. It felt like it's trying to wrap things up quickly all of a sudden, which I didn't care for. I think this story wraps up in few issues, like something like 32 or 33. I'm not sure if it's continuing after that or what, but Titans had its final issue, which felt kind of lackluster.
Oh, so did you jump back on then? Because I thought you...
I never dropped Titans, no.
Oh, I thought you and I thought
no,
you dropped
I was,
Titans.
No, I was thinking about it.
There to the end with Titans.
I was thinking about it, and then it got good again, and then I heard it was ending anyway, so I might just write it out. But, like, this last issue just felt like the end of an arc. It didn't feel like a final issue. It tied things up neatly. It, you know, tried to, like, tie up all the characters. But, Yeah, it just was kind of lackluster for a final issue, that's all.
Why is it ending?
I don't know.
Are they doing a spinoff of something new?
No, I think they told the story and maybe the sales weren't that high on it. But
did they ever comment again? Like, because whenever I started reading it, it was right after Dick Grayson getting shot and stuff like that. And then, they talked about it for a little bit. Do they ever mention, like, bring any of that up again? Or they...
They do at different points, like, deal with, like, the loss of Dick Grayson and Wally West and Roy Harper, and especially with Donna Troy. Like, she's the main one that really, you know, focused on those things. But, yeah, like, not a ton. There's a few issues around, like, when those events happened.
What do you think if, whenever I was still reading it, it was still at, a touch-and-go if was he going to survive or not. So I didn't know, they ever brought him up, has anybody tried to talk to him, gone to Bloodhaven
They mentioned him as still being alive.
Okay.
I
just didn't know how much they ever went on, did with that,
Yeah. But, like, this, we see, Raven, kind of, become herself again, because for a while, her soul self was separated from her.
Yeah, that, I was there kind of in, the middle of that, and by when I left, that wasn't resolved. I was almost thinking about jumping back on whenever I saw Kyle Rayner was coming on, because...
Yes, he was there, Beast Boy's back to normal again now.
Oh, okay. They figured that out.
Yes, this issue just felt like it was kind of, putting all the toys away, so that way, if someone else was to come on now, everyone's kind of back in their...
Back
yeah,
where they
normal,
should be.
Yeah, status quo. Overall, the series was fine. I enjoyed it for the most part. But yeah, just wish it was a better ending. What else? Wonder Woman, number 68.
Speaking of vegetative injustice.
I really like this arc. I really have enjoyed this Wonder Woman Giganta team up. It's just been a lot of fun. The art in this book had two separate artists on it, which don't always love. Now, that's the wrong one. So I was trying to click on the book to see who the other artist was. So I am normally a pretty big fan of Cary Nord. I love his covers, especially his Valiant covers. But man, I have not been a huge fan of him on Wonder Woman, just especially the way he draws Diana. But then the other artist who was on it, who I'm not seeing listed here at all anywhere. Oh, Ronan Cliquette. I don't know who that is. Mm-hmm. But his art was fantastic for the second half of the issue. And I didn't realize there was two artists until all of a sudden I turned the page. I was like, oh, that page looks a lot better than the previous ones. And then I checked and saw it was, two separate artists. But it wraps up this whole thing with these Titans that have been coming to life on Earth, and they found out that there aren't actually true Titans. They don't have they're just almost like animated rocks. And they were protecting this sword, and this sword ends up being Antiope's sword. And the artifact leads Diana to believe that maybe Themyscira isn't gone after all, and sets her off on the next leg of her journey. But it was just. It was fun. I said there was a lot of good character moments. The team up was really great with her and Gigana. Everything just felt spot on. I know you said that sales have dropped with this since Willow Wilson's came on, but I really think that she's been doing a good job, especially the dialogue with the characters has been great. It just I like it.
More good.
And that is it for me.
Okay. I only had one more. Which book a new Image one called Fair Lady. There's been a great war. And afterwards, there's no need for police, so the military people are struggling trying to find things to do, and a lot of them become these men called fairmen who are special investigators. And this one girl or lady has masqueraded as a man to participate in the war, and now afterwards, she's the only fair lady. And basically, she works for this one, ruler. And is head of security for their castle, but she also likes to go out and take little side jobs that other people don't want. And I guess each issue is going to be like a complete mystery. You know, you're going to, the mystery, and it's going to be solved by the end of it, but then there's going to be other things that are continuing on, you know, little storylines and stuff. And so basically this was a mystery. She was hired to find this person who had stolen from these different businesses, and she ends up finding her, but I think that's where it's going to lead into this bigger story.
Who's writing that?
You know, I don't know. It's Image. I don't remember noticing who the writer and the artist were, but it was good. It was a really solid story, but it, you know, it's in a, you know, different planet, different things. But it was good. It reminded me like of Copperhead, just in that sense, kind of like
what happened to that book?
Yeah, I don't know.
And did the last volume ever come out?
I don't think so. I don't think it ever finished. Yeah.
Well, no, they ended the series. But
okay.
I've seen like three issues.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It never finished like the series.
Okay. I heard that it was ending, and then
stopped at like 19. Yeah, I think it was supposed to go to 22.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, because I've been waiting for the last volume to come out.
I don't know. But, no, but Fair Lady was really good. I enjoyed that. That was neat.
Is it an ongoing or a mini?
As far as I know, it's an ongoing, yeah. But it says each issue is going to be a complete story, so.
Same creative?
As far as I know, yeah. Oh. Yeah, I didn't read all the end matter. So, that's all I got. Pat?
So what's coming out next week, Colin?
Okay, action.
You missed that last week, didn't you?
We did. Action.
He actually was able to do it himself.
I did. And I said it. Impressive. I said it to myself, yeah.
What's going on next week?
Pretty
Colin?
Much.
Well, Colin, thanks
pretty
for
much.
Asking.
Yeah. We got Action 10,010 continuing on the Leviathan story. Amazing Spider-Man 20. Ascender comes out next week. This follow-up to Descender. Avengers is tying in with War of the Realms. We have Avengers Edge of Infinity, which is actually a... No, that can't be right. Is it a MODOK story? It might be. It's just basically they want to have a book out there with Infinity in the title for when the movie hits. Bloodshot Rising Spirits number 6. Is that the last issue of that, Josh?
I think so.
Dark Red number 2. That first one was good, and we're also getting a second print of number 1.
No, it's not the last issue of that. I think
there's
another arc coming after that.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Detective Comics 1002. Dial H for Hero 2, I really enjoyed part 1. Dick Tracy Forever is a new series that's written and drawn by Michael Avon Oeming.
I can't wait for that one.
Fantastic Four number 9. Mm-hmm. Forgotten Queen number 3. Heroes in Crisis number 8. This is the penultimate issue of the series.
Maybe something will happen.
Hulk Marines number 3, the last issue of that little mini. Jughead Hunger versus Vampironica. So that's on Dave's list. We got Mighty Thor 3D, which is also a War of Realms tie-in, which I don't know how they're doing that with a reprint book, but sure. Naomi, we're getting final printings of 1, 2, and 3, because this has been a big speculator book.
Final printings? They're not doing any more after this?
That's basically they said is we'll do one printing, that's it. Previews is next week. Punk Mambo comes out next week, a little 5-issue mini. Queen of Bad Dreams, this is from Vault. Star Trek Year 5. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which is tying into the new ride. Star Wars Vader Dark Visions number 3. Thanos number 1, which is going into the history between him and Gamora. And then War of Realms Uncanny X-Men comes out next week as well. Plus, lots and lots of stuff. Man, I was looking. When I get the invoice, first thing I do is scroll down to the bottom just to see how much I owe. And this was a big number. And then I went through. And then I go through just scrolling kind of quickly because I'm just looking on my phone. And I look at the last column, which is the total money column, to see, you know, what big items are coming and things like that. And there wasn't. There was nothing with a big total on there, just the sheer volume of books. There's just a ton of stuff coming out next week. So, lots of good stuff. I don't even notice that. We have the Warning number 6 and Warning Trade Paperback number 1. Wow, that's fun. So, that's what we got coming out next week. Free Comic Book Day is coming up, a little over 2 weeks away. Book Club is the 26th, which we're doing Infinity Gauntlet. We do have them in stock if you're interested. Come out and have fun, unless you want to go see the movie that night. I didn't intentionally pick that day, but I'm not going opening night. That's crazy. This month is Aftershock Month, where it's double points on all Aftershock books. And I think that's it. So, oh, Mike.
Yes. What?
You got to say the catchphrase.
Man.
Sign us out.
I don't know what the hell a catchphrase is.
Oh, Spencer, do it.
That's the podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Oh,